Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
God is so good this morning. His glory is here. Why don't you just lift up your hands in the atmosphere, into the cloud, that realm of His goodness, the realm of His grace, the realm of the unlimited flow of the miraculous, that realm where His blessings just begin to overtake every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body. Lord, we thank You for Your wonderful glory that's in this place this morning. Lord, we thank You for touching us by the power of Your glory. Lord, changing those things which need to be changed, rearranging those things which need to be repositioned. Lord, I thank You for bringing into divine alignment and divine order that which has been out of place and that which has been in confusion or chaos. Lord, I thank You for releasing Your clarity even this morning by the Spirit of glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Just receive that. Just pull it down. Just receive it. Sometimes I found a good thing to do is just to reach out and just pull it down. I mean, just literally take your hand and just reach out and pull it down. One person said to me, "Brother Joshua, what does that do?" Just reaching out, there's nothing there. What does that mean? Why would I do that? I don't have to do that. I can just sit in my seat and God can do whatever He wants to do. I discovered that God will do something impossible for those that do what's possible. God will ask you to do something possible in order for Him to do the impossible. And there's sometimes when God will speak to you about doing some of the most unusual, extraordinary, strange kind of things in the natural. But it's really about taking a step of faith and believing God on purpose. And there's times when you can see things in the atmosphere or know that God is releasing something in an atmosphere. And just by stretching out your hand and reaching into that vision and pulling it down by faith, somehow you put the natural into the supernatural and you begin to connect with that spirit realm and you begin to pull it from the invisible into the visible. You begin to pull it from the unseen into the seen realm. And so I really encourage you this morning as I'm ministering to participate with God, begin to participate with the glory, respond to the realm as God is showing you something, as God is opening up things to you. Just begin to receive. Don't hold back, but become a generous receiver. Amen? Okay. I've got several books and CDs that are available on the back table on your way out. This is my newest book. It's called Time and Eternity, Taking Dominion and Authority Over Your Day. And if there's anything we need more of, we need more money and we need more time. You know that's true, right? You need more money and you need more. Anybody who says, "Well, I got enough money," you need to get a bigger vision. You need to seek God again. Hallelujah. Because I understand this, that God will always give us a vision that's much larger than our natural provision, knowing that He's the one that can bring the provision for the vision He's showing. And so you need more money, you need more time, and I believe that God wants to give you all of that. It says in Philippians 4:19 that God supplies for all of your needs, no matter what it is, according to His riches, His unlimited blessings in the heavenly realm. The last time I checked, God wasn't running out of nothing. Amen? He's got more than enough. So who would like this book? Okay, Pastor Linda, I want to bless you with this. God bless you. Okay. And I have one more book. It's called Position for Prosperity. I don't know how many books we have on the table up there, but we've got a few. But I encourage you to get that, Time and Eternity, and also my book, Position for Prosperity. This morning, I'm going to actually minister out of this book. And I want to go into a revelation specifically that God has given me in regards to angels of prosperity. Last night, if you were here, you saw what God did and heard what God did in the atmosphere. Janet Angela stood up. I never heard her ever do this before anywhere that we've traveled around the world. She began to prophesy millions coming to Pastor Carl. and Cheryl to the Thomases. And that's pretty unique. And I thought, wow, Janet, awesome. This is, you got to be hearing from God to say something like that, you know. And she was prophesying millions coming to them. And then it changed. And God expanded that vision a little bit. And then she said, and you're going to write millions. Now, how many know that changes it altogether? Not just receiving millions, but writing millions. Hallelujah. Okay, you didn't hear what I said. You're just jealous because it's not you. I think if God gave you that word, I think you'd get a little bit excited. I think you would become quite enthused with that word. You'd become enthusiastic and you'd start rejoicing. Some of you might start laughing. Some of you might start crying. If God were to give you that word. I just got, whenever a word comes into the atmosphere for somebody else, I like to go in and grab a little bit for myself. Hallelujah. I mean, God, if it's good enough for them, I'll take it from me too. Hallelujah. Okay. Open up your Bible with me. Let's go to Psalm 35. Psalm 35, looking in verse 27, it says, let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. The Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Now, how many know you're not just a servant of the Lord? Of course, we give our life to serve the Lord, but we're not just servants. We are actually sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are sons and daughters of the King. Hallelujah. And we belong to a kingdom that is incorruptible. We belong to a kingdom that is so filled with the riches of heavenly blessings, so filled with every good and perfect thing that comes from above. It's so filled with all the abundance we could possibly think of. The Bible says that God will do more than we could ever ask or think of. There is so much abundance in the heavenly realm. And the Bible says that God takes pleasure in our prosperity. He's talking about you this morning. He's talking about your life this morning and says that he desires, he delights, he takes good pleasure in seeing that you would walk in the blessings, to see that you would walk in the abundance of the heavenly realm, to see that you would walk in these heavenly riches, that you would not be walking in lack, and you would not be walking in poverty, and you would not be walking in struggle or in a place of anxiety, but that you would rise up into a place of understanding that there is so much of available for you, and that you can walk in it too. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. I want you to declare it this morning. Say, God takes pleasure in my prosperity. Declare it over your life. Declare it over your family right now. Declare it over your physical body. God takes pleasure in my prosperity. Now, I know there's some people, they have a problem with what's called the prosperity gospel, because they say, oh, it's just all about money and it's just a materialistic gospel. Listen, prosperity does not just have to do with finances. Finances are a part of it, but prosperity is having enough to meet your needs with enough left over to be generous on every occasion. Whatever your need might be, whether it be health in your body, whether it be health in your mind, whether it be a healthy soul, whether it be having friends and having family that love you, whether it be having the talents, the abilities, the creativity to do what you need to do, whether it be having the doors of opportunity open to you, whatever it is that you need in your life, prosperity is having enough to meet that need. To meet that need. I met some people, they have all the money they could ever dream to have, and they're some of the most unhappy people. Why? Because they're not walking in prosperity. They have a lot of money, but their soul is very depleted. Their soul is actually in poverty. Now, I've met other people that have a lot of money. They've been blessed extravagantly by God. And God has given them great prosperity in spirit, soul, and body. And, you know, people say, well, I don't like that money, so I don't want to touch money, because money changes people. Money never changed anybody. It only magnified what was already in their life. Money's a magnifier. Money's a magnifier. If you are a mean and nasty person with a little bit of money, it's going to be more obvious when you have a lot. If you are a kind and generous and considerate person with a little bit of money, if you get a lot of money, it's going to become obvious to the entire world how generous you are. You think of someone like Oprah Winfrey, and I'm not going to get into all the debate of, you know, well, Oprah's this or Oprah's that. Listen, God loves Oprah, and that's just the way it is. But you see Oprah Winfrey coming from a situation where she had nothing as a child. And she was not known. Why? Because she had nothing. But somehow God blessed her. And I believe this. I believe it was God that blessed her. Because God's the one that blesses people. But God blessed her and put her into a place, a position, gave her a platform. And along with that platform, more riches came into her life. And Oprah Winfrey is known in this world. Oprah is known for her great generosity because money is a magnifier. And that tiny generosity that was already in her heart when she was a poor little child growing up in Mississippi, all of a sudden that money has magnified what was already in her life. And it's obvious to the entire world how generous she is. Money is a magnifier. Money is not evil. The Bible says the love of money is an evil thing. In other words, money isn't the evil thing. The lust for it is what's evil. The reason why is because we're not supposed to seek after money. We're not supposed to seek after natural earthly riches. We're supposed to seek after God, after Jesus Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what happens? A lot of people have it out of place. A lot of people running after riches. A lot of people running after materialistic goals. A lot of people looking for the gold at the end of the rainbow, not realizing that Jesus Christ is the greatest prize you can ever receive in your life. When you set your eyes upon Jesus Christ as the author, the finisher of your faith, as Christ, the anointed one, as Savior of the world and Savior of your household, Savior of your finances, Savior of your body, Savior of everything that you have. When you understand that he is the one that you need, you keep your eyes fixed on him. The Bible says that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things shall be added, what? Unto you. It's like if you make Jesus Christ first place in your life, all the other stuff will fall into place. All the other stuff will come into divine order, in divine alignment. So God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He wants to bless you in every single area of your life. Somebody say, God wants me to walk in the blessing. God wants me to walk in the blessing. Hallelujah. It's available. Now you have to just determine to walk in it. Just walk in it. Just walk in it. There's such a wonderful thing about looking to Jesus and trusting Jesus and serving Jesus. Because when you give your life to him fully and you're fully devoted to him and he becomes your vision, problems might come and troubles might come. We live in the world and so situations and circumstances, they'll happen. Things will come to try to shake you, try to move you. But I understand this, that Jesus Christ, he is unshakable. Hallelujah. And when you keep your eyes fixed on that vision, amidst the storms of life, you can have your eye on the blessing, knowing that in all times, all seasons, you are still blessed. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am blessed. I am blessed. Yesterday morning, I ministered a word that the Lord's been unfolding within my spirit, the revelation, in regards to truth triumphing over fact. Because all of us have facts. And if you weren't here yesterday morning, I really encourage you to watch the session that I did yesterday morning. It's available online on impactlondon.ca. You can go into the archives of the truth casting and watch it. But the truth of God is the word of God. The spirit of God is the spirit of truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. God is the truth. He's not a man that he could lie. And the Bible says that truth is discovered and found in him. But the thing is this, we all have facts. Facts are different than truth. Facts are fleeting, facts are changing. Every day the facts are different. Some days you wake up and you have pain in your body. The next day you wake up, there's no pain in your body. The facts have changed. Some days you wake up, you feel like you're on top of the world. Other days you wake up, you feel like you're in the lowest valley. The facts have changed. Some days you wake up and you feel like you're so blessed. And other days you wake up and you feel like you're not blessed at all. The facts have changed. But there's one thing that doesn't change, and that's the truth. That's the truth. The truth never changes. And so you have to discover what the truth of God is, because if you can get the truth of God, then suddenly the truth can become your vision. And amidst the facts of life and the changing winds of life and the changing seasons and the ups and the downs, in the middle of it all, there's a truth that will bring you out of those facts and a truth that will set you free from the bondage. The Bible says that facts are not what sets you free. It says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you know the truth, there's freedom that comes from the facts of life. There's freedom that comes from the hindrances of life, the bondage of life, the circumstances of life. There, you've got a way out. Hallelujah. And for some of you, that's really good news this morning. You remember, Jesus is the way. The way. The way. Well, it looks like there's no way out. Jesus is the way. Where am I going to go? Jesus is the way. Where can I turn? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. So God takes pleasure. He delights in the prosperity of his servants. God wants to meet all of your needs according to his riches in heavenly glory, according to Philippians 4:19. Now there's an interesting prophecy I came across. In October 28th of 2010, Brother Kenneth Copeland was ministering at one of his believers' conventions. And he stood up and the Lord gave him a prophetic word. And the word was this. He said, "For all of you who will take my word and stand on it, says the Lord, the kingdom is for you. The angels are for you. And all of heaven's reserves are at your call." I got excited when I read that word. Because it's Bible. It's already in the Bible. We know that. But isn't it wonderful when God speaks in this day through his servants, through his prophets, and you can hear it once again, the word of God coming fresh and new, just like fresh manna coming down from heaven. He said this. He said, "The kingdom is for you. The angels are for you. And all of heaven's reserves are at your call." Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that the kingdom is for me. I thank you that the angels are for me. And I thank you that all of heaven's bounty, all of heaven's reserves, all of heaven's riches are available at my call. Lord, you have not placed this abundance in some far off place, but Lord, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's within reach. I can reach out and I can receive whatever it is that I need. Oh, as I speak out in faith and I believe by faith that I receive, Lord, I thank you that you're causing things to move from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm, from the divine supernatural into the natural. You ought to lift up your hand and grab some of that right now. The kingdom is for you. And he said, all of heaven's reserves are available at your call. But he said something else. He said, the angels are for you. The angels. Now, how many have ever seen an angel in here? Put up your hand if you've seen an angel before. Isn't this wonderful? Look, there's a few people that have seen angels. Maybe 10, 15, 12, maybe 20. Maybe 20 people have seen angels. And the rest of you are sitting there saying, "I've never seen an angel in my life." I remember a couple years ago, I was ministering in Colombo, Sri Lanka. And I was sitting across the table, and the woman asked me, she said, "Have you ever seen an angel?" And I said, "Yes, I've seen angels many times." She said, "I have never seen an angel, but I'd like to." I said, "How long have you been saved?" She said, I've been saved for 10 years. I said, you've seen an angel. No, I've never seen an angel. She said, but I have been saved for 10 years. I said, if you've been saved for 10 years, you have seen an angel, but you weren't aware of it. You didn't discern it. The angels of God are all around us. The problem isn't whether or not the angels are moving or whether the angels are working. The situation is whether we're discerning or not. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you, God has given us something wonderful as believers. One of the things that God has made available to us is the discerning of spirits. And the discerning of spirits is the ability to discern what comes from God and what is not of God. It's the ability to discern demonic spirits and the evil spirits, evil presence that tries to come in and hinder the work of God, and discern it so that we can cast out demons and command that the enemy assignment to be broken and to be loosed off of our lives. But it's also the ability to discern the presence of the Holy Spirit, that when he comes, we don't call him the devil. When the Holy Spirit comes, that we would worship, that we would honor him, that we would glorify him. But it also, the discerning of spirits also includes the ability to discern the angelic majesties of heaven, the angelic hosts of heaven, that when they come, we can discern that God is utilizing them to work on our behalf, working in our lives. And as we begin to understand how God is working, we can cooperate with that movement. We can cooperate with the workings of God. Hallelujah. How many want to partner with the heavens? Amen. I want to learn more and more. I want to learn how to cooperate with God. Understanding that he is for me. He's not against me. His thoughts towards me are good. He's not mad or angry at me. But God actually wants to bless me. God takes pleasure in my prosperity. And sometimes the way that God will release prosperity into my life is actually through the ministry work of an angel. Ooh. So Brother Joshua, you're saying angels are all around me. I've seen them, but I wasn't aware of it. Then what do they look like? Open your Bible with me. Let's go to Hebrews 1. I want to take you there this morning. I'm just going to give you a few things this morning. I really encourage you to get a copy of this book, Position for Prosperity, because there will be more revelation that you can go into. And this book is wonderful. If I do say so myself, I did write it. But the last three chapters are just the Word of God. The last three chapters are 650 scriptures that I found within the Bible in regards to blessing. There's a chapter on with blessing scriptures. There's a chapter with scriptures on favor. There's a whole chapter with scriptures on increase. And then there's another chapter with scriptures on just about prosperity angels and these ministering spirits that God desires to release into your life to cause blessing to come. Now look at Hebrews 1. It says, in the past, starting in verse 1, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has also spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son, this speaking of Jesus Christ, is the radiance of God's glory. What is God's glory? Jesus Christ is the radiance. He's the revelation of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now, do you see what this is saying? It says Jesus Christ is higher than the angels. Jesus Christ is the one that is lifted high. In other words, this is telling us we worship Jesus. We don't worship angels. We don't worship lower spirit beings. We worship Jesus Christ. He's higher than the angels. He is the radiance, the revelation of God's glory. For to which of the angels did God ever say in verse 5, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. In verse 6, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says this, he says, let all of God's angels worship him. Let all of God's angels worship Jesus Christ. Now, this is giving us an understanding that one of the very primary purposes of the angelic realm, the reason why God created the angels, the primary purpose is to be worshipers. The angels of God are worshipers of God. The angels of God worship Jesus. Now, as they worship Jesus, we need to understand that we also are called into this worship of the Holy One. We are called to worship Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as Savior of the world, as Healer Divine. We are to worship Him as Lord over all. We're not supposed to worship an angel. Now, as I'm ministering this morning, and I'm going to bring revelation about the angelic realm, I'm not going to share this so that we get distracted in worshiping angels. Now, how dumb can you get and still breathe? Why would you want to worship an angel if you can worship the one who created the angels? Come on. We worship Jesus. Somebody say, we worship Jesus. We don't worship an angel. Revelation says that John the Revelator was about to bow down to this heavenly being, and the heavenly being said very carefully, worship Jesus. Worship God. Hallelujah. Okay, so let all God's angels worship Him. In speaking of the angels, He says He makes His angels winds and His servants flames of fire. Now, there's a revelation there. He makes His spirits winds. It's talking about being spirit beings. But I discovered at times as I'm in worship, my hands are lifted. There'll be times as I'm worshiping the Lord, I can literally feel a wind blowing across my fingers. I'm not talking about the air conditioning. I'm not talking about an open door. I'm not talking about a person passing by. I'm talking about angels flying by. Begin to discern the movings of the spirit realm. Begin to discern the movings of the heavenly realm. At times we'll worship and we'll feel a wind. Other times we'll be worshiping and a heat sensation comes. What is that? It says He makes His servants flames of fire, messengers of fire. There'll be times when the angelic realm shows up and we can literally begin to discern that heat, the fire, the flame, the flaming spirit of God. Hallelujah. Whoa. Have you ever been worshiping the Lord? And maybe this is just me, but there's been times I've been worshiping the Lord, and I remember stepping out and just lifting up my hands, and as I'm worshiping the Lord, I can sense others beginning to come around me. My eyes are shut, but I can sense other worshipers that are beginning to gather around me, and I know that they're just worshiping and engaged in this worship, and I open up my eyes, and I'm surprised to see that I'm still all alone at the front of the church. And yet I could feel, I knew other people were gathering around me. I had an awareness of it. And I opened my eyes and there's no other person, no other human soul. What is that? The angels that are gathering to worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you ever been in a place where you've been in church and you've just been worshiping the Lord or focused on the things of God, and you felt someone come just put their hand on your shoulder? You open up your eyes and there's nobody's hand on your shoulder. Standing at the front worshiping, you feel a hand come on your back. You open up your eyes, there's nobody standing there. There's no hand on your back. The angels of God. Hallelujah. Whoa. There's been other times we've been going through life and I see a flash out of the corner of my eye. I turn to look and, whoa. Lord, your servants are flames of fire. I just saw a flash. Why would God let us sense these things, the angelic hands or the angelic wings or the heat or seeing the flash of light from the corner of our eyes? Why would the Lord allow us to discern in this way? Why? Because God wants us to press in deeper and deeper in those moments of worshiping Jesus, understand that He is for us, and if God be for you, who can be against you? And there'll be times in your life when you're going through something, and God will allow you to discern these moments to let you know that there are angels that have been sent to you to encourage you, to protect you, to surround your life, to lift you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 91 verse 11 says that God's angels, He's commanded His angels concerning you. Somebody say, God's commanded His angels concerning me. God has angels that are watching over you. Now Hebrews, let's go to the end of Hebrews here. We'll just skip from Hebrews 1 all the way down to verse 14. It says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation, who are heirs of salvation? Now if you are in Christ, if Christ is in you, you are an heir of salvation. Somebody say, I got angels that are assigned to minister to me. Come on, declare it this morning. You got angels assigned to minister to you. Hallelujah. This is not fairy tale this morning. There's not been a lot of teaching about the angelic in the church. And I understand, because the angels should never be the focus of the church. It should never be the primary goal of the church. But in seeking first the kingdom, we must understand that God has placed these angels in the kingdom of God. And they're part of that glory realm dimension that God is releasing unto the earth. And as God is releasing these heavenly realities, we must understand how to cooperate with Him. Hallelujah. It's been said that God created His angels to protect, direct, and prosper His people. The purpose of the angelic realm is, number one, as I mentioned, to worship God. Number two is to wage war in the heavenlies. And so they're in a battle with the demonic. The holy angels of God are battling the demonic spirits of the enemy. But the third purpose is to work for God's people. They worship, they war, and they work. Hallelujah. They worship, they war, and they work. And I'm getting gold all over my hand right now. Can you see that? There's gold coming. Do I have it on my face? A little bit? Okay, on my smile. A little bit. Here, why don't you look at your hands right now? Because when it's released in the atmosphere like this, it's a creative miracle. You're getting gold in your hand? Yeah, wonderful. Just worship Jesus. Just worship Jesus. Just worship. How many people are getting gold on your hand right now? Just wave at me. You're getting it over there? Over there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back there, you're getting some gold? Hallelujah. Some of you might not get it on your hand. Some of you might get it on your lap or on your face. Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? You know, when the glory comes, sometimes it comes like a rain or a fire. We read in the Bible about the glory coming, showing up like a wind. Sometimes people cry. Sometimes people laugh. Sometimes angels are released. When the glory of God comes on me, I begin to sparkle like a Christmas tree. I mean, really. Hallelujah. This is heavenly gold that comes from the realms of the glory. I believe it's a manifestation of the Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory is the visible glory that can be seen with the eyes. It's a tangible, very real glory manifestation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And some people say, well, Brother Joshua, why is gold coming on your skin? Why would God send His gold? Do you know in the Old Testament, when God gave Solomon instruction to build the temple of God, He instructed for the temple to be covered with gold, to be overlaid by gold, to be ornamented with gold. He commanded all this gold to come. Why? Because gold was symbolic or prophetic of the glory of God. Gold represents the glory. Now, why do you think when people were creating false idols, they would create them from gold? Why do you think? It was mocking God, because gold represented, it was prophetic of the presence and the glory of the one true God. And so they would try to recreate and try to mock God in this way, creating their false idols or false gods. But gold represents the one true living God and His glory. Now let me ask you this question. As New Covenant believers, is the temple a place that's made by the hands of man, or where is the temple? The Bible says that you and I, we are the temple of the Holy. Where do you think God wants to put His gold? Hallelujah. God wants to cover you with His gold. God wants to fill you with His gold. God wants you to be overladen with His gold. God wants to ornament you with His gold. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the blessings of God. I'm not even talking about a natural thing. I'm talking about a supernatural thing that God wants to do in your life. When you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, you're receiving the true gold. Hallelujah. When you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you are receiving the gold of heaven. And what God is doing right now by putting this on my hand, He's giving us a prophetic sign. A prophetic sign saying, I love you, I care for you, and I desire to fill you with the good things of heaven. How many want to receive that right now? Just reach up your hands into the realm right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for releasing the blessings of heavenly glory. Lord, I thank you for causing your signs, your wonders, your miracles to flood our life like never before. Lord, I thank you for doing what we cannot do. Lord, I thank you for releasing what we cannot achieve in our own ability. Lord, I thank you for manifesting your glory in and through us. in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, there's so many scriptures. I've just opened up a treasure box of the supernatural with these things that I've been reading out of the Word of God for you. But I want to open this up in regards to the prosperity angels of God, because God has angels that He has assigned to your life to release the prosperity of heaven into your life. And I have a lot of testimonies I could share. You really need to just buy the book. Get the book. There's a lot, I mean, really, there's a lot of testimonies in here. A few years ago, we were in Singapore. We had ministered for about a week in Singapore. We got home from those meetings. We had only a few hours before we were leaving home again to go out on another ministry adventure. We got home in the morning. And we're going to be leaving at night to catch another flight. And when we got home, I laid down for a rest. Janet Angel was doing the laundry. And as she was doing the laundry, God began to do something so unusual. She had washed all of our clothes in the washer, put them into the dryer. They had been dried. And then as she was pulling the clothes out, the clothing was being covered with gold dust. I mean, this gold, this heavenly gold, was covering all of our garments, all of our clothing. And so she ran into the bedroom where I was sleeping. Well, as she was doing this, I was in La La Land having a dream. And in that dream, all of a sudden, God opened up to me a revelation. I saw a prosperity angel coming towards me, and I saw gold. It was like gold dust and gold coins and liquid gold splattering all over the place, and it was like flowing from the angel all over me in my dream. And I understood this as a prosperity angel of God, and God was giving me an encounter. Now, Janet ran into the room, and she started telling me, she said, "Joshua, Joshua, gold is coming all over our clothes." I said, "Stop 1 second." I said, "I just had a dream where I saw an angel coming towards me, and there was gold dust, there was liquid gold, there was gold coins splattering all over the place. God is bringing us into a visitation or an encounter with an angel of prosperity, and we need to work with this angel." Now, how are you going to work with an angel? How are you going to work with an angel of prosperity? Well, what does an angel of prosperity come to do? Comes to release the generosity of God into your life. And so the greatest way I know how to participate with an angel of prosperity, you become generous yourself. Hallelujah. And you say, "God, I believe what you're showing. I believe what you're doing. And I'm going to activate this thing even further. I'm going to engage myself in this encounter." And so I said to Janet Angel, I said, "I know there's a minister that has a need. She called me today. She said her air conditioner broke today. It's $3,600. She doesn't have the money. She doesn't know what she's going to do. But God is bringing us into an encounter of the supernatural, releasing an angel of prosperity. Let's write her a check. Send her all our money. $3,600 to pay for her air conditioner." Janet Angel said, "We need to do that. We need to do it. Let's do it. Let's engage in this thing." Come on. When God sends you an angel of prosperity, you engage with the angel. Amen. I'm not talking about worshiping the angel. I'm talking about understanding why God has sent them into your life and saying, "I'm going to participate with the heavens all the way." And so we called that minister. Now, we were on the West Coast. She was on the East Coast. We called her up. It was the middle of the night. We woke her up in bed. Listen, when a prosperity angel comes to you, it doesn't matter who you got to wake up. If you're going to bless somebody, you wake them up. It doesn't matter. You just wake them up. Janet woke me up. Now I'm waking her up. And so we called her. She said, "I'm sleeping." I said, "I know, but a prosperity angel came to me. And I want to activate this thing. I want to engage with this thing. And I'm going to write your $3,600 air conditioner bill. I'm just going to send you the money tomorrow." She began crying and weeping on the phone. God was able to meet a need in her life. And He did it through a prosperity angel coming into our life. So we did that. And we were all excited that we were able to do that. We called, made the phone call, made the promise of sending the money the following day. I went to change my clothes because we were now going to go back to the airport. I was wearing my pajamas. I went to change my clothes. I put my shorts on. As I was tucking in the pockets of my shorts, I felt money in the pockets. I knew these shorts had no money in them. Now there was money in my pockets. I'm telling you, I went through the roof in excitement. I got so excited. "Well, Brother Joshua, how much money was it?" "It was a few $20 bills." "Oh, well, that's not going to pay my bills." Listen. When God sends you 20s, you ought to get excited, because right behind it, there might be a 50 or 100 or 500, 1,000. You don't know what's going to be behind that. Hallelujah. If you can become thankful for the little things, God will increase it and bring you into the greater things. I got so excited. Lincoln put on his shorts and he had money in his shorts. Now, our whole family was rejoicing. We rejoiced on that airplane trip as we went to the next. We were on our way to Ashton, Virginia, and so we were rejoicing the whole way. We got to Ashton, Virginia. We checked into our hotel. It was I guess it was early in the morning because we took like an overnight flight. We checked into the hotel early in the morning. We got all set up, hooked up our email and everything, clicked on our email, and there was an email that came from Singapore. Now, this is the last place that we had just been. Singapore wrote us, and they said this. They said, after you left, the offerings continued to come in for your ministry. What? They blessed us greatly. I mean, we were so blessed financially when we left Singapore. We could hardly believe it, how God had blessed us. Now they wrote, and they said that offerings continued to come in. This doesn't happen. After our ministry leaves, you know, you leave. But the offerings continued to come in, and the church contacted us, and they said, we need to wire you this money. Well, the offering that came in after we left was, I think, just about the same amount that came the whole time we were there. And so they wired us, and we began thanking God, and we began looking for more places to sow. Understand, there was an angel of prosperity that was working with us. The generosity of God being released into our life. Why? God will bless you so that you can be a blessing. This is not about hoarding up stuff for yourself. This is not about collecting stuff for yourself. This is about coming into a place of receiving from the heavens in order to release from the heavens. Hallelujah. I mean, we got so excited. Do you know what happened? I ended up going to minister, I don't know, maybe it was about a year later, something like this. We had this angel of prosperity for a whole year working all these kind of crazy miracles. And about a year later, I was going to minister for Jason Westerfield in Connecticut. And Jason told me he was going to come to the airport and pick me up. Well, the way that the airport is, you have to go down these hallways. And, you know, the people that are picking you up, they can't come into the secure area. So they got to wait over by the area where past security. And so it was like an L shape, and I was coming around the corner, and all of a sudden I could hear, before I could see him, I could hear Jason Westerfield laughing behind the corner. I thought, why is he laughing so loud? I stepped around the corner. He said, I am laughing because I knew you were coming around that corner. There was an angel of prosperity that stepped out around that corner before you came around that corner. I knew you were right behind him because that angel came before you. And he said, it's hilarious. That angel is covered in gold, and there's like gold dust and gold coins that are flowing all over the place, flying out from this guy. And he looks like Santa Claus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know what happened when we were having this encounter with this angel of prosperity? Janet and I, we came home from Hong Kong, and we were laying in bed, and I'm going to try to close up real quick. But we were laying in bed one morning, and our landlord contacted us in Palm Springs, and he said he was living up in Seattle, and he said, I'm going to retire, and I'm going to come down to Palm Springs, and so I'm going to live in the home where you're living right now. You're going to have to move out in September. Well, this was May when this happened, and I thought, God, you know I don't want to move again. God, you know I don't want to move into another rental. For 11 years of marriage, Janet and I, we lived in rental apartment, rental unit, upstairs of home, basement of home, you know. We had all these rentals here and there and everywhere. We were always renting. But from the very beginning of our marriage, we always sowed for a home. Every time an offering would come, we'd write on the back, new home. And Pastor Carl can tell you, many of our envelopes would say, new home, on the back of that envelope. Why? We were sowing on purpose, believing that God provides for all of our needs according to His. I don't have the ability to do it in my own. I don't have the finances in the bank account to get a home. But I know that God has the ability. God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God says the silver belongs to me. The gold belongs to me. He owns everything. There's nothing that He has that I can't have also. So we sowed from the very beginning. And after 11 years, I finally looked at Janet and I said, we need our own home. Now's the time. She looked at me, she said, we need our own home. We went into the office, our ministry office is in Palm Springs, California. We walked into the office, and I don't know, it wasn't very long after, there was a knock on the door, and it was our landlord, a different landlord, for the ministry offices. She's different than our rental home landlord. And Her name's Ingrid. She's a wonderful lady, and I love her dearly. But she knocked on the door, and she said, "Oh, Poppy, you know Ingrid. Yeah, we went to their home." Or, "This is my Poppy. This is my grandpa right here. I love my grandpa. He's a Pentecostal preacher, a great man of God. And he has set an amazing example for all of us to follow. If I talk too much, I'll start crying. So I'll stop. But Poppy, I love you. I really, really love you. And I thank you for the life that you live for God and the example that you set for us. It's amazing. It's a high standard. And Ingrid knocked at the door. I opened it up. I didn't know who it was. I opened it up. Ingrid said, "Hello." I said, "Hi." She said, "Do you need a home?" "What?" She said, "Do you need a home?" I said, "Well, yeah, we do." I said, "We just got, our landlord told us today that we had to move out." She said, "I think I know the home for you." Wow, this is amazing. We haven't told anybody. And she just comes to the door and says, "Do you need a home?" So I said, "Okay." And she started telling me about these different homes. And we made the arrangements to go a week later, a week Tuesday, to go see the home. And so she took us to the home. We looked around. We realized this would be the perfect home for us to live. And so she asked me the question. She said, "Do you have any money for the home?" And I said, "Well, at the beginning of the year, the Lord told me to start putting a little bit away. But when I say a little bit, I mean like a little bit, like a little bit, not nearly enough to even think about getting a home." Ingrid said, "That's okay. Go down to the Bank of America and see if they'll give you a loan." So I went down to the Bank of America, and we made the arrangements, and we sat down with them. And the first thing I told them, I said, "I'm a Canadian, and I'd like a home loan." They said, "We don't give home loans to Canadians." Well, that was over. So I went back. I called Ingrid. I said, "The Bank of America doesn't give home loans to Canadians." She said, "Okay, well, there's an Indian bank down the road, and they give money to anybody. So I'll give you their phone number. You call them. And it's a little higher interest rate, but they'll give money to anybody. So you go ahead and make an arrangement with them." So I filled out all the applications. I had the appointment scheduled. And the Indian bank called me, and they said, "Sorry, you're not qualified. We can't give you money." I said, "What? You give money to anybody?" Yeah, anybody but you. You know, so I called Ingrid back up, and I said, "Ingrid, the Indian bank won't give me money." And she said, "I knew they wouldn't." I said, "What? You said they give money to anybody." "Yeah, but I knew they wouldn't give it to you. You just don't have enough money." And I said, "Okay." She said, "And I knew the Bank of America wouldn't give you money." I said, "Why did you send me to all these banks?" She said, "I just want to see if you're serious." She says, "It doesn't matter that they won't give you money. I have lots of money, and I'll give you the money." What? An angel of prosperity showed up in our life. We engaged with the angel, and God sent someone to our doorstep. We did not go looking for somebody. We didn't go out looking for the finances. Our eyes were fixed on Jesus. And suddenly that person came to our door, said, "Do you need the home?" And later on said, "I will give you the money." This is a miracle. This is an absolute miracle. She said, "I'll give you the money." She said, "I'll lend it to you." And she said, "I'll lend it for you lower interest rate than what any of the banks would ever offer." And she said, "And the terms will be you can pay it off as quickly or as long as you want. It doesn't matter. It's up to you." Now, this is the greatest arrangement you could ever, ever have. So Janet and I, we went through the process. We went to the escrow and everything, signed all the papers. And sure enough, we moved into that home. And it was a great blessing. Well, now this angel of prosperity shows up in Connecticut, ahead of Jason Westerfield, and looking like Santa Claus coming around the corner. Jason's laughing hilariously. We go in, we have 3 days of meetings. At the end of the meetings, a check was written to pay off that home in full. You're not hearing what I just said. One check was written to pay off that home that God gave us by a miracle in full. Somebody praise Jesus. Come on. Somebody pray. Lord, send those Santa Claus looking angels. Lord, we receive whatever it is that you have for us. Lord, we receive your prosperity angels. Lord, we receive your angels of finances to work in our life. Lord, we receive your angels of deliverance. Lord, we receive your angels of protection. Whatever it is that you want to do, Lord, release those angels of prosperity, those angels of divine provision, those angels of supernatural supply in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you for doing it by your Spirit, not by mind, not by natural power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more thing. I want you to turn to Psalm 103. I didn't even get into a bunch of encounter. You need to get this book, Position for Prosperity. There's scriptures about angels appearing for Elijah, angels appearing for David, angels appearing for Abraham. There was one, Abraham said this. He said, go out and God will send his angel of prosperity to direct you and make your way prosper. How many want these angels to work with you? How many want to become familiar and aware of the angelic realm? Amen? Get the book, Position for Prosperity. Really, Psalm 103, look at this with me. And I'm going to close here this morning. I want to give you a wonderful key to activating that angelic realm. Psalm 103, we were there last night, but get all the way to the end, verse 20. It says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word, or who hearken unto, in the King James it says, who hearken unto the voice of his word. The angels of God are created to do the will of God. They worship God and they minister for God to work with humanity. But the Bible says that the way that they work is by hearkening or moving according to the voice of God's word. Now let me ask you this question. How does God's word get a voice? Yeah, you got it. When we speak the word of God, we give voice to the word of God in the earth. There are a lot of angels in general, not just prosperity angels, but a lot of angels that I believe are in some kind of unemployment line just waiting for somebody that will speak the word. Somebody that will give voice to the word of God. Because angels can only move according to the voice of his word. And they're waiting for the sound of God's word to be released in the earth. Now I share this with you because I want to encourage you to find the promises of God within the word of God. For whatever you're going through, wherever your needs might be, whether it's health in your body or restoration in your family or dealing with problems with your children or in your home or restoration of things or in your workplace, your business, whatever you're dealing with right now, I want you to find a promise of God because there's promises all throughout the Word of God. And if you can find the promise and begin speaking it into the atmosphere, understanding you're giving voice to God's Word, there will be, I am telling you, there will be angels that are put on assignment to carry forth that word and make it happen. The Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. And many of the times, the ways that he'll do that is through the ministry work of his angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up this morning? Just stand up. Lift up your hands unto God. Just worship Jesus in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done this morning. Lord, I thank you for the great blessings that you've released into our lives. The wonderful things that you're doing, the ways that you're moving to change things, turn things, rearrange things. And Lord, even in our most difficult situations, we know this, that all things are possible for them that believe. And so this morning, Lord, we choose to have faith in your word. We choose to trust you even more than we ever have before. And Lord, we thank you for releasing that supernatural work, the supernatural activity of angels into our daily lives, Lord, that we become aware of them, discern them, understand how you're utilizing them for our good, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor Carl, thank you so much for having us. It's always awesome. It's home. It's home. So it's always awesome. God bless you.
Yeah. Hey.
Can I get you to stay focused just for a minute? Stay focused right now. Just stay focused. I'm going to ask Joshua to do something, all right? And I'm just going to ask him. I want us just to connect all the way in the place, everywhere. I just want everybody to be connected all the way back. And I actually want you to connect all the way back to the camera and be touching the camera. And I'm actually just going to ask Josh to grab my hand, and then we'll be connected all through the house. And, you know, the anointing and the impact is loose through the Word. So the Word has touched you, and there's been an impartation. But I just want there to be a tangible touch of God beyond just the Word. And the Word's enough. It really is. But I just feel like I want a tangible, to put a tangible demand on what God spoke today. Do you? And I just want everybody. And, you know, I did this in Calgary. I was tired in Calgary. And I preached all week to these people. And they all wanted impartation. So I'd make a big line. And I just touched the first guy. And whoosh, they all got whacked. And people sent me emails of healing and all this stuff. I said, what nonsense. I thought, how stupid is that? But a lady was totally healed, about 200 people in. And you know what? The anointing is powerful, and it flows. It's tangible. And I know there's going to be a flow, a tangible touch on you. You felt the Word. The Word has touched you. I just want to put a double demand. Is that all right? And so can we do that? It's not going to be complicated, okay? So these guys are hooked up there. Let's hook up all the way through the aisles. Just make sure you're hooked up, all right? Be hooked up, and I'm going to get Josh to hook up. So I'm going to, where are you guys hooked up? Who are you guys hooked up to? So I just need somebody to get hooked up right. We just need an end. Can you be the end over here? Can you come here, the gals and the blonde? Can you come over here? You come over here? All right. Now, I'll tell you what, maybe hook up over there again. Sorry about that. Because I just want to make sure. Are you guys all hooked up? Has everybody got both hands covered? Has everybody got both hands covered? All right, we got the camera covered too. That's awesome. You folks on the camera, you can get whacked right now in Jesus' name. All right? So Joshua's just going to tap into heaven right now, and we're going to make sure both hands get whacked, all right? So I'm going to give him the mic, and I'm going to lay a hand on him. He's going to lay a hand on you, and we're going to make sure everybody's connected. So you'll have to grab your nephew behind you there, get him whacked too, all right? And I'll lay a hand on you. You ready?
Are you going to lay hands on me?
Well, I'm just going to be a conductor right through over here, and you over there. I'm going to make sure everybody gets whacked, all right? So I'll give you the mic.
Lord, right now, I thank you for releasing your glory. Lord, I thank you for releasing your miracles, your signs, your wonders, your healings from heaven right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for releasing divine deliverance, divine restoration of all things. Lord, right now, I thank you for causing a fresh impartation, the very fresh oil of heaven to flow from the heavenly realm right now into our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you. Whoa, thank you for doing it. Whoa. Lord, I thank you for releasing that glory. Releasing that glory. Releasing that glory. Releasing that glory in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you for touching all those that are even watching by webcast, those that are watching from their homes, even those that are watching later. Right now, Lord, I thank you for filling their homes, flooding their homes with the manifest glory of God, with the Shekinah, with the Kabod, Lord, with the fullness of your presence in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for ministering to spirit, soul, and body, meeting every need. In Jesus' name, amen.